on the use of nuclear weapons? How do we know what we know? Does the past help us to predict the future? And why do we never expect unexpected events? These are not simply idle questions when we reflect on a technology like nuclear weapons, in which a rare event, use, would most likely have very high consequences for all of us. Now, lately, there has been a welcome focus at the international level, once again, on consequences. However, it could be argued that focus on consequences leads us away from exploring the answers to the three questions I just asked. If we think as risk in simple terms as probability over consequences, the probability side of the risk equation is rather less well understood. Now, meanwhile, a lot of what we know in life is a basis of experience or of the amalgamation of many experiences. An experience is based on events in the past. Both intuitively and in some of the quantitative tools for prediction that we use in life, we depend on the past to help us predict the future. Now, the problem with this is that unexpected events confound these modes of thinking, and such events tend to be unexpected, basically because they are very rare and thus fall outside the range of our tools or experiences. And this, in a nutshell, is what scientists and philosophers call the problem of induction. Now, some of you may have heard of Nassim Nicholas Taleb, who wrote a very famous book a few years ago called The Black Swan, and another very good book I would recommend called Fooled by Randomness. And he related a variant of the philosopher Bertrand Russell's illustration of this mother of all problems in life. And I'll quote, "Consider a turkey that's fed every day. Every single feeding will firm up the bird's belief that it's the general rule of life to be fed every day by friendly members of the human race, looking out for its best interests, as a politician would say." Now, on the afternoon of the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which, for those of you who may not know, is a holiday, an annual holiday that almost invariably involves a turkey roast, something unexpected is going to happen to the turkey. It's going to involve a severe revision of belief. Now, a real-world example is the outbreak of the First World War. Now, this was a surprise to all in the sense that since the Napoleonic conflicts a century before, Europe had experienced a period of peace that would lead any observer to believe in the disappearance of severely destructive wars. August 1914 brought with it a severe revision of belief. The problem of induction also applies to the claim that because the existence of nuclear arms and doctrines of deterrence haven't resulted in the detonation of these weapons in populated areas in 70 or more years, that there is little likelihood of it happening in the future. It's clear that past experience is not of unconditional benefit here. Will we encounter a stark revision of belief on the use of nuclear weapons prompted by an unexpected and nasty detonation? After all, rare events still happen at some point in time, and such events have been exceedingly rare since 1945. And if so, what are the kinds of causes of risk that we should be looking at in order to take steps to reduce the probability of this happening? And that's what we're here today to find out. And it, of course, has been the focus of UNIDEAR's project on understanding nuclear weapon risks. Now, I'm pleased to tell you that we have a really great panel of contributors this morning who've been involved in the work of the project, looking at questions such as risk means in the context of nuclear weapons and how we currently assess nuclear risk across its varying causes. I'm going to introduce our speakers. We had hoped to have with us this morning Dr. Reza Lahidi, who is a partner in Menon Economics in Oslo, Norway, and he's an expert in analysis of public policy and decision-making, especially in disaster risk assessment and management. And he has a speciality in nuclear safety issues. He also has a PhD in decision sciences from the École des Études Commerciales in Paris. Unfortunately, Reza couldn't make it. He had the flu and he had to cancel. But I do want you to take a look at his research published as part of our publication. I'll be summarising some of the main points of his presentation later this morning. But I'm very pleased to tell you that we have with us Mr. Hans M. Christensen, who is probably known to many of you. He's the director of the Nuclear Information Project at the Federation of American Scientists in Washington, D.C., where he's responsible for researching and documenting the status and operations of nuclear forces of the 9 nuclear-armed states. I think there are a few people outside, probably a few government intelligence agencies, who know more about nuclear arsenals than Hans. And he's co-author of the bi-monthly FAS Nuclear Notebook column in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists and the World Nuclear Forces Overview of the SIPRI Yearbook. This should probably come as no surprise to anyone. It's noted here in my notes that he was born in Denmark with a name like Hans Christensen. I would expect no less. And our other speaker this morning, who will follow Hans, is probably well known to all of you, an old and dear friend, Dr. Patricia Lewis, Research Director at the International Security Department at Chatham House. She was previously Deputy Director and Scientist in Residence at the Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. She was Director of UNIDIR for a decade, and before that, Director of VERTIC in London. She has a BSc Hons in Physics from Manchester University and a PhD in Nuclear Physics from Birmingham University. So I'm very pleased to have these colleagues with us today. So this is how we're going to proceed. Hans will begin with his presentation and Patricia will follow. I will follow up with a few summary points, as I mentioned, from Reza's presentation, and then we'll have some interactive discussion. Now, you have two choices. You can wait with your questions until the end, or if you want to tweet me your questions, for instance, if you want to ask your question anonymously, then you can tweet me at John Borrie, just one word, J-O-H-N-B-O-R-R-I-E, and I will collect up your tweets and we'll introduce those into the discussion. So with that, I'd like to hand over to you, Hans. Take it away.
Thank you, John. And thanks very much to UNIDIR for the invitation to come here and for dragging me into this project. I was unfortunately unable to attend the first session that you had earlier on because of illness, but now it's spring, so I couldn't say no. I want to start off from where William Perry left with one of his remarks. Which was this conclusion that